Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and today I'm very excited to welcome to the show Robert Harris. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you, Damon. Glad to be here.
So with all of our guests, Robert, we always ask with the same, we start with the same question, which is, what has God been highlighting to you recently? So what's God been teaching you?
Well, if I'm honest about it, he's been kind of showing me how old I'm getting. but not in a bad way. It sounds worse than it is, but really I've thought a lot about my age recently, and even different things you read in the Bible. They have, you know, you read those verses by Paul, I fought the good fight and I finished the race, and they seem to have more context than they used to in the past. So I think it's not a bad thing. I think what it is something that people go through, whether they're a believer, you know, whether they're somebody who's part of the church, or whether they're out in the world, you know, where they start thinking about their age, and really, as you start having less years left, you go through this than you did when you started out.
Yeah, I just recently celebrated my 40th birthday.
That's right. Happy birthday.
Yeah. So that's been a lot on my mind, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's and you know what you'll do, Damon, is you'll 10 years from now, you'll feel like, oh, why did I feel like I was old when I'm 40? You know, once you turn 50, you'll say, what was I thinking? 40 was great. I actually really miss my 40s to some degree. But I think there's a lot of great promises, though, as we age in the Bible. And I think that that's important, because a lot of people, as they get older and closer to retirement, they start thinking, oh, I'm going to take that big cruise that I've always wanted to since I was in my 30s, or all these, they have this bucket list or all these things they want to do. And none of those things are as good as what God has in store for us in heaven. And the second part of that is, as far as what you want to do with your life, I actually wrote down a verse or marked it, because I didn't want to miss it. But in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So it's like, when you really think, what do you want to spend your last 20 years or 30 years, or even if you're very fortunate, 40 years left, what do you want to spend that doing? And I think a lot of people, as they get older, they say, you know, I don't want to do as much ministry. They say something like, I've paid my dues, which theologically speaking, we should never be saying, because we can't pay our dues. You know, that's not even the reason we should be ministering. We shouldn't even be trying to do that. But really, I think that doing things that matter, you know, teaching and encouraging people your same age who are aging as well, and people who are younger, and just people around you. Even if you do some of those fun things, you know, even if you're working through your bucket list and just have a ministry focus at the same time, you know, really thinking about people's eternity and their salvation, I think that that's really valuable, and that's how God wants our heart to be.
Yeah, one of the things that really stood out in the verse that you read is the part where he talks about the things that are unseen are the things that are eternal. And I feel like that's been something that God's really been highlighting to me recently, is just recognizing more of what's going on in the spiritual realm and what God is highlighting. That's not just things that we see every day, but it's what he's doing and kind of what's going on in his spiritual direction and leading. And that's been pretty cool for me personally.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good to listen for that too, because if you think about it, I tend to be a logical person, but at the same time, I believe the Bible. So you believe that God knows everything and can see the depths of people's heart. So he might tell you to talk to someone or to say something to someone that doesn't make sense to you. But if you could see exactly what their need was and what their thoughts were, it would make absolute sense. It would be completely aligned with what you would do just in your own intelligence. And Pastor Barry a few months ago said something on one of the sermons. He said, God knows everything, so we don't have to. And for me, because I tend to be a know-it-all, people who know me know that, but it really actually was ministering to me. You know, I don't have to try and research every reference for something that I'm trying to learn about, you know, and obviously brain surgery or something like that, if I were doing it, would be different. But, you know, as far as like a political issue or, mm-hmm. or anything like that, I don't need to dig endlessly and spend time doing all that all the time, because God actually sees and knows everything and actually has his hand on everything.
Yeah, and that brings to mind, you know, what you spoke about last year at the men's Bible study, which is the foolish things and God using the foolish things that, you know, don't make sense to us, but in his all-knowing, it does make sense.
Right, right. Yeah, God's wisdom versus man's wisdom.
Yeah, and we are in a season of wisdom at our church right now, because we're going through a series on making wise choices. So it's cool to see how God is playing all these different things together and helping us to understand his wisdom, and that's very different from our wisdom, too.
Yeah, I think it's been great.
So, Robert, you're one of the newer people at our church. Now, you had mentioned that to me recently, that you enjoyed the podcast, because as a newer person, you get to know some of the other people at church. But I think one thing that's been really cool about your story is you actually started coming to Catalyst during the pandemic. Would you like to share a little bit about your story?
Sure, and that is true, but it's not the first time I had ever been to Catalyst. Mm. The very first time I'd been to Catalyst, our daughter was friends with Megan DeGucci from school, from mm-hmm. Cal State Long Beach. And we had gone to a missions event where there was a talent show. Were you in the talent show, by the way?
I was not okay. in the talent show, but I was a part of putting it together, but okay, I wasn't yeah, in
was
the talent
a,
show.
There was a talent show. I'm trying to look at people now and think, were they in the talent show? I just don't have enough of a context.
But. I think Agnes was the star of the talent show.
Okay. Well, there was the talent show, and then there was a bunch of tables with silent auctions, and it was great. Really enjoyed it. But we were somewhere else at the time. And then in the middle of the pandemic, we really were looking for something different. And we started listening online, actually July 5th, I think, was the first one where we really just started listening to Catalyst as our church. And Pastor Barry spoke with so much what I call spiritual courage, you know, really still speaking truths. There was a lot of controversial things going on back at that time. And he still spoke with a lot of truth, but also with a lot of kindness, you know, and that's, it just was very appealing to me. Mm. Then I actually started going to the worship nights. The first thing we started having were the very small mask-required worship nights here at the Freedom Center. Started attending those. So, and then our families went to the first services we had over in the warehouse. And and all the way back to the regular Sunday services now.
Yeah, and then you, during the pandemic, you also started teaching the men's Bible study, and you did it last year, and you're also coming back this year. So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about today was recently you had shared with me, as you were preparing for the men's Bible study, just how much you enjoy and love reading the Bible. And it's interesting, because yesterday we had staff meeting, and Pastor Barry had mentioned that that's something that he really wants for our people, is to really love reading the Bible. And so when you had said that, it kind of sparked something in me. It's like, oh, I really want to talk to you about that today. So where did you get your love for reading the Bible from, Robert?
Well, it's that makes me reflect and really dig really far back, because I was raised as an atheist, not raised non-religious. I was raised in a deliberately atheist household. And when I first was exposed to the Bible as an adult by some friends, and one of them, I had one friend who told me to read Corinthians, and I had an old Jerusalem Bible. Actually, I think it was my wife's Bible, but I looked at these names, Galatians, Corinthians. They sounded like something from Battlestar Galactica. You know, to an outsider, that's, you know, if we go around quoting people, you know, Galatians 3 says, we need to remember they have no idea what Galatians are or who they were. But the first thing that surprised me and amazed me was how relevant it still was for today, and how much I didn't think of it in a supernatural way yet. I thought, wow, I guess people really haven't changed as much as you'd think they had in the last 2,000 years, because they had all the same problems we do today. Now, biblically, we know that that's a sin issue, right?
Yeah.
And that's a human nature issue, and that's the conflict even among believers of the flesh and the spirit, you know, contending against each other. But to my mind, as a non-believer, it's like, people really don't change that much. But then my wife actually started going to church first. She was much braver than I was in the beginning. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I remember one time asking her, because she was listening to radio ministry. And I said, you're not going to become one of those people who listens to this stuff for the, I'll say stuff for the purpose of our podcast all the time, are you? And but it's funny, when I went to church, they were going through the book of Luke, and the pastor talked about, after he had just finished the story of the crucifixion, and talked about all the prophecies that were fulfilled. And so he went through some of those and talked about how long ago they were written. And I kind of thought, nah, you know, I studied it, you know, just like had to know everything. If you're going to be a know-it-all, you're going to have to work a lot to do it, right? So I'm studying all of this, and even ran down to, there was an old giant used bookstore in downtown Long Beach called Acres of Books. Mm-hmm. And I went down and I got a Jewish Publication Society Old Testament, because I thought, oh, it's been rewritten. And it's like, no, there they were, all of these prophetic passages exactly the same as they are in the Bible we were using. So I think that's where a lot of the love for the Bible came, was just really seeing it as absolute truth. Even before I gave my life to Christ, I believed that prophetically Jesus was the Messiah, was the Messiah, as prophesied. It just made sense to me that it was indisputable.
Wow, that kind of blows me away that was your journey. And so really, I think that's a very unique journey. You know, for most people, I think a lot of people, when they read the Bible, it does feel like it's, you know, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, and not current, like you're saying. So where do you think that people can start to make some of those connections between what was going on back then and what's going on right now?
I think the first thing that you need to do is really accept that it's the most important book that you'll read. Mm-hmm. This means if you're studying for a master's degree in some subject, it's more important than any business book that you would spend a long time reading 500 pages of, you know, a lot. And I've seen actually, you know, I'd say one book I know in the MBA programs, I haven't been through one, but I've seen the content. They give people like a book a week, you know, some Lee Iacocca kind of book or something to read every week, you know, whatever the latest wisdom is on, you know, how to be successful. Well, you have this book that it actually has the eternal wisdom on how to be successful. And we have to believe that. We have to believe it when the Bible says that all scripture is inspired by God, or is God-breathed, and is suitable for training in righteousness and correction. So if we believe that, we have to approach it differently. We have to make the commitment. I am not that great, to tell you the truth, at having a disciplined Bible reading habit. I don't have a devotional every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Don't tell Dale that.
No, I don't. I tend to read in spurts. You know, that's, I tend to read where all of a sudden I'm reading and then I've read through several chapters and get engrossed in it and then put it aside for a while. Even to the point, I'm going off on a tangent a little bit. The first time I read through the Bible, I thought, what do I do now? You know, I finished it. You know, and it was a weird feeling. It's like, do I start over? What's the next? Do I just read books about it? You know, and it was really weird to get back in it. But if we approach it and let it just get, really think of it as God speaking to us, actually speaking to us in a different way, even if he's reminding of stuff, just think about how many times you have to remind your kids of things. You might have to remind your kids, we'll get dinner after I'm done with a podcast, just as a hypothetical example.
Yeah, that didn't just happen 5 minutes ago.
But so how about we let God remind us of all the truths he wants to tell us over and over, and eventually those things start sticking out for different life situations. Like maybe you're seeing your kids, your teenage kids, go through a struggle. This is actually a example that I've heard people give me. And you remember in the book of Judges that God left some of the enemies of Israel in the land for the generation that had not yet learned to fight their battles. And you think, wow, you know, it's not all up to me. You know, God has a plan and a completely different relationship with this next generation. I don't have to have that whole burden. So you start contextualizing the things, even though they happened 1,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, you start contextualizing that, and it gets ingrained in you, and it just becomes part of your thinking after some period of time.
Yeah, as you're sharing, it really brings to mind Romans 12, when he talks about, you know, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I think even in terms of reading the Bible, sometimes we need our minds to be renewed, because for a lot of people, there's some negative times of reading the Bible where it feels like we're doing it out of duty or obligation, or it's not speaking to me, but maybe we need that renewal of our mind to really be able to dive in and see it as God speaking to us.
Yeah, yeah. Or we're going through Chronicles where it's like six chapters or whatever of nothing but genealogies, you know, or something like that. And that's actually, you know, it's funny. My wife Arlene digs that kind of stuff. She can read through that and she'll highlight something and say, "Huh, I remember him from back in, you know, in this book." And it's really funny. But for me, it's like, oh, I got through four chapters, but. We have to, but you're right, we do have to accept that even in those genealogies, there is something God has for us. It's interesting, I had read from the, I don't know if you're familiar with the Jesus Film Project. It was more prevalent in the 70s and 80s, where they would bring the Jesus movie in different languages mm-hmm. to different places. And they talked, one of the people who was part of that ministry talked about how those genealogies to some of the tribes in Africa are what made that, made them realize that the Bible wasn't just myths, because they were so, their stories of their tribes and their people mm-hmm. were handed down through genealogies, and they, and that's what made it click for them. They had, so they would look at that and say, wow, it does go all the way back to Cain, you know, Cain and Abel, and be excited about it.
Yeah, I recently had an experience like that with my kids, because, you know, one of their favorite bedtime stories is the story about how my grandparents met each other. And when I tell the story, usually I'll talk about how they met and then they fell in love and then they had kids. And then we'll go through the genealogy all the way up to my kids. And, you know, there were nights where I was like, I'm tired. I don't want to tell the whole thing. I'll just end it, you know, when they fell in love. And then my kids would be like, no, you have to keep going. We have to keep going. We need the rest of the story. Don't stop there. And so it's just to highlight, wow, when the genealogies affect us, I mean, that's how it was to the Israelites, right? This is their history, and they want to hear the whole thing because they want to see where they are now.
Right, right. Even if you look at the Gospels, I guess, because in Matthew and then in Luke, mm-hmm. the first, within the first few chapters are the genealogies.
Yeah.
And that does affect us. There's our, you know, there's our gateway into the spiritual family, mm-hmm. you know, there's our spiritual brother and our savior, right? Who at the end of this genealogy. So that's another good reason to get excited about it.
Yeah. So really, I mean, it's neat to see, oh man, I said neat again. Brandon's going to kill me.
What's wrong with neat?
Oh, Brandon has a neat counter on me. Cause that's my, go-to word, I guess.
I think it's neat when you say it.
Yeah, you just killed my train of thought, Robert.
Sorry.
Well, so anyway, for this year's Bible study, you're going to be speaking on the temple. And I actually heard the first time that I had heard about you coming to speak last year for the men's Bible study, one of the things that Pastor Barry had sent me was a sample of your teaching, and it was on the temple. And you were going to actually, I thought last year you were going to speak on that, but you changed it to the foolish things. And then this year you're going to be actually speaking on the temple. And so we're excited to hear about some of the insights that you have on the temple, but for the men that are considering coming, and also for the women, I was thinking, man, if you can make it so that the women are jealous of the men, that would be so awesome.
You know, it's so funny you say that, Damon, because the, one of the women at Sunday morning was asking, is there a way we could get the YouTube video of it? And then she said, or at least the recording, at least the audio recording. I thought, what do they think we do? Like we wear, like, you know, elk moose head hats or something, you know, like some lodge or something. But no, it actually is the original version, though, of the 10 things God wants for his temple. Was just a short teaching. I used to belong to a group that met at a Sizzler in Torrance. Mm-hmm. It was a combination of some people from Honda and some people from different churches in the area that all kind of, you know, met together for a quarterly Bible study. And I would call it Sizzler Church. Sizzler Church actually has now been turned into something else. It went out of business during the pandemic. So that's not even documented as one of the churches that suffered during the pandemic, but the Sizzler restaurant over on Pacific Coast Highway.
Well, that's better than Bathroom Church, because didn't you start one in the bathroom before?
No, I did not. That was actually at American Honda Motor Company when they first opened our Gardena. There was a Bible study. I led it for about a year and a half, but it was actually almost, I believe, 30 or 40 years old. and it had started in the ladies' room. A few women from the original Honda motorcycle division, when they first opened in California in the South Bay, started this Bible study. And I was actually honored at the time. I was a consultant there for several years. And I was honored that I got to take care of it for a few years. I did the whole book of Genesis, which took over a year. But it was exciting. It's neat to see people that you work and just in your everyday life in to see the spiritual side of them and to meet together just during one lunchtime a week and kind of be spiritually refreshed and encourage each other.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, okay, so Robert, can you give us a little bit of a preview of what you're going to be sharing about just to, encourage the men to come on out and sign up for the men's Bible study? And then, like we said, give the women a little bit of a hint of what they're going to be missing out on.
Well, I'll tell you what it's not about, because a lot of times when we think about the body or think about us as the temple of the Holy Spirit, the context that is used is in holy living, or like even not even junk food. You'll hear people say, how can you eat that artificial sweetener? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's not what it's about. Those things are true, right? That there's a physical part of it, but there's also a very spiritual part of the temple of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with how God sees us. So what we're doing, there's a lot of history in it. You probably remember that last year from the foolish things. We didn't just talk about the verses. We talked about the...
Oh, yeah, that was one of my favorite parts of the Bible study. It was actually going into the context and the history, and you busted out a bunch of the pictures and everything, so I thought that was really fun.
It's crazy. It's crazy, especially when it merges with history that, the rest of the world, that the secular world knows. That's really exciting to me, because that makes it so real and connected. But we're going to be starting with the very first tabernacle and going through all the different stages of the temple of the Holy Spirit and talking about 10 attributes of it that God desires from it. If you think about us as the temple of the Holy Spirit, not the physical but the spiritual part, when did that occur? That occurred after the presence of God, that same presence that was all powerful that the high priest couldn't approach unless he was worthy, and that same presence that consumed the fire when they dedicated the temple during the times of Solomon and all of those things, that same presence when Jesus was crucified left the temple. I'm giving away a little bit of the study, but that veil was torn open and the presence of God was gone. And where did it go? It went away for a while, and then at Pentecost, after Jesus was gone, it came back and it indwelled every believer. And it still indwells every believer. And if you think about that, there's got to be more to that than just like, oh, that's helping me not to say cuss words, or there's got to be so much more power in that. If we have like this, I'm not saying those things aren't bad. It's good not to say cuss words, and if the Holy Spirit helps you with that, that's good. I sound like some kind of a libertine here. With all I'm just talking about the bigger thing, and that's really a theme. Even when I went through Genesis, because you read another tangent, I apologize. But when you read Genesis, you read these patriarchs, Abraham. You think, why did God let him get away with all that stuff? Why would he, God still loved him? But really, if as believers, when we're new believers, people around us who are out in the world start asking, are you still allowed to do this? Are you still allowed to do that? And that's how they see it. They see it as a bunch of new rules that we have to follow.
More rules.
And to some degree, we have the same perception. We're learning, as a new believer. Especially, I know this because I became a believer and as an adult, and these are new things. But really, what we should be more scared of is the stuff we miss, not the stuff we get away with because we're covered by grace, but what blessing or what opportunity would God have given you if you had followed his will? Ooh. You just won't know that. You might, hopefully, that would probably ruin eternity if we knew all the things. If your heart was a little set more the way I wanted it to, you could have done this and that. I don't want to know all those things. but that's really what I think we see in that, beyond just us being the temple of the Holy Spirit and holy living and eating right and things like that, is what does God want to do with us as far as empowering us, as far as making us minister better, and how does he want the world to see us? And that's what it's all going to be about.
Oh, man, I'm getting excited. I want you to keep going, but I know I don't want you to spoil it. I want people to come out to the Bible study. So, but man, I'm getting excited just hearing about that. And it's like, wow, what what could we be missing out on if we're not really seeing the Spirit the way that God wants us to see the Spirit and acknowledge how God sees the Spirit in us?
That goes right back to in my mind to, you know, what do you want to do with your old age? You know, do you want to just, you know, play shuffleboard? I remember we'd go over to Thanksgiving with my grandparents. I was close to them. I'm not saying they were shallow people. But a lot of times when it was the big family gatherings, the whole conversation was like, how much are you paying for gas? And I'd say something, and then my grandfather would say, I paid 5 cents less over on, you know, Orangewood and Beach, you know, and all proud of it. And it's like, what are we talking about? You know, there's, I don't want to spend my old age, you know, just relaxing and talking about the price of gas and all the things that just that we discuss, you know, that are just mundane. I really want to still have an impact. I will say that that's something that's very, I think, exceptional about Catalyst is there really is a welcoming opportunity. I really do feel like with the leadership at Catalyst that there's a lot of freedom to have an impact and to serve and minister in ways that maybe there would be a little more protocol or you know, more time to pay your dues. And I already talked about paying your dues, but I don't have time to pay my dues, you know, at a new place. I'm already in my 50s. So I just really like to minister, you know, and to teach where there's an opportunity. It brings me a lot of joy. And I hope people get a lot out of it, you know, and it excites them about the Bible and gives them a love for the Bible because God loves them through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, but also through his words in the Bible.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think since you started, Robert, I just really appreciate your openness to serve. I mean, I think that's something that's really awesome and unique about you is that you really have a heart to serve. And we've noticed that since the beginning. And, you know, even it's like your whole family is serving now. And, you know, Arlene has been decorating the church each week, and on special holidays, she makes it really look nice and welcoming. And I mentioned to her recently, I was like, wow, I've never seen our church look this nice, but it's just, and no one asked her to do it. She just did it. And I just really appreciate your family and you and your heart to serve. And, you know, we love you guys.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Arlene, her gift is really making things beautiful. And sometimes that, is as simple as using a blower on the lawn, you know, but decorating, you know, whatever it takes to make things beautiful. And I actually love what happens with that is it gives people a place to take a photo, you know, if it's like Mother's Day or something, they have something to stand in front of. And that's been great. She gets a lot of joy out of that. That's her happy place. And I'm glad that she's able to do it.
Yeah. And man, as a staff, we totally appreciate her and her willingness to do that too. So yeah, for both of you guys, it's like you enjoy serving, and we love having you guys, what you guys are bringing to the table too. It's just awesome.
Yeah, I was telling someone, it was actually one of the church members who I was doing some IT work with, and we were talking about something, and I said, the Holy Spirit doesn't need to like give me a push. He usually needs to give me breaks. I tend to run forward and I have to listen to stop or slow down a little more than some other people do. I tend to be overeager. And that's actually one of the things that's interesting. I'll share one other story. It's not really related to what we've been talking about, but the heart of the people at Catalyst, you can see when the head of a church, the leadership promotes a certain culture. There's like a kindness and kind of a love at Catalyst that is really, really unique. And we had a lot of testimonies. I heard some testimonies and thankfulness at Fuego over the Thanksgiving Saturday. But then we had people doing Thanksgiving testimonies at church on that Sunday. And I was listening, thinking, and just really admiring the heart. And I felt God speak to me. And he said, that's great, but how are you going to let it impact you? And I thought, wow. You know, I've done ministry other places and done this and that and think I know this and that. And am I going to come here like as a shrink wrap package, I'm sorry, with no room to grow? Or am I really going to let that impact me? And I really feel like Catalyst has taught me to be a little bit more patient and a little bit kinder. And really that's just from examples, just from the example of how our leaders are here. You know, it's like, I want to be like that. I don't want to be, just because I might know more about a certain section of the Bible. I don't want to be a know-it-all that doesn't show people love and things like that. And that's where I'm really growing a lot, thanks to Catalyst.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, one of the curriculums that we went through as a church was Messy Grace, and it's how do we approach truth and grace and hold both of them tightly? Because, you know, in history, the church has tended towards truth without grace, and then nowadays it's moving in the other direction to grace without truth. But yeah, one of the values that Pastor Barry and our leadership really holds tightly to is we want to hold firm to truth, but we at the same time we want to hold firm to grace.
Yeah, you know, you see that actually in the seven churches of Revelation. Mm-hmm. You find an example where the one church, Ephesians, I think it is, that they're protecting the, you know, holding fast to the doctrine, but they're the ones who forgot their first love and they had grown cold. And you have other churches like Thyatira that still, you know, they're very spiritually gifted, but they've also welcomed Jezebel. You know, they're kind of, they've kind of gotten a little too mystic and things like that. You can actually find in Revelation, in all of those seven churches, you can find a modern day parallel to it in the modern church. It's pretty cool.
Sounds like a topic that you might want to do for next year's Bible study.
No.
Letters to the seven churches.
people come with too many pre-expectations with Revelation. That's a tough one to teach.
Okay, so Robert, before we let you go, is there anything last things that you want to leave our church family with?
Gosh, I don't know. I guess rather than like me trying to have something else to say, I would just say thank you. You know, thank you for being Catalyst and being such an awesome, welcoming church. You know, we've really felt welcome here and felt included and a part of it, and that's been awesome. And you know, that's something that I think our church really excels at. And see, I even said our church. You know, don't think your church over there, your little place over at Stanford. No, it's not like that. And that's because of the culture of the church. So, you know, if you're one of the members that's helped perpetuate that for a long time, thanks. That's what I would say.
Well, thank you, Robert. Thanks for coming on this episode. And for all you men out there, Robert will be leading the men's Bible study starting Tuesdays in June 14th is the first one. It will be at the Freedom Center, and it will also be on Zoom. We're going to do hybrid style this year.
Yeah, and we did hybrid last year. I'm going to jump in and say, yeah, I know that the men on the hybrid study actually had a really good time. We kind of had a live small group, and they had their Zoom group, right? And that worked out really well.
Yeah, so we were able to do small groups for both in-person and hybrid. So if you haven't signed up yet, sign up, and we're looking forward to seeing you there. So thanks, Robert, for sharing your time with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
So until next time, may you experience God's desire for you to flourish in every season. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.